So the homework in these packs about telling the truth is to recognize that if you really are going to tell the truth, you are going to remind the person of that issue. They are going to go into their pain, and when one's in pain, they have a reaction. It has nothing to do with you. Your main homework is not to be this best friend, or not to say, oh, if we do this, it'll all be sweet and nice, but to totally recognize, am I willing to simply hold my space, knowing that when I help this person with the truth as I see it, that it might nuke them. It might remind them of their issues. And the other thing is not to be afraid to say your truth as you see it. Let's say I want to say something to Keith is the truth. And 10 of his other friends say, but we all say something totally different. Whose truth is whose? We're not to take it on. We're simply just to see if we agree with it or not, or if we want to participate with it. We're not telling Keith what to do. Not telling any of you what to do. I discovered as a therapist, if you come up to a brunette and say you have the ugliest blonde hair I've ever seen, they don't really get very offended by it. But if you come up to a blonde and say you've had the ugliest blonde hair I've ever seen, even if they think they're pretty cool about their blonde hair, if they have an issue, even the slightest issue about their hair will get launched. But if that blonde knows they have blonde hair and it's beautiful blonde hair, and you say you have the ugliest blonde hair I've ever seen, they go, thank you for sharing, just like they were talking to a brunette. The closer it gets to your issues, the closer it gets. If you're a blonde and we're talking blonde, you go, okay, we're talking blonde now. Versus brunette, this guy doesn't. If I talk brunette to you and you're a blonde, you say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's colorblind. He's an idiot. He's a fool. Well, let's have some compassion for this poor man who has no idea what a blonde is. You'll end up feeling sorry for me instead of getting nuked. Recognize that as we get closer and closer to the truth, you will react to it. That's the first sign. So when you guys live your life in truth, you're like big alarm clocks. You're going around saying, wake up, everybody. This is who I really am, and I'm not going to change my reality for you. I'm not going to change it so you can feel better about yourself or stay numb. And I promise you, they were going to do every trick in the book to get you to feel like you're the bad person. And your only thing you get to say to them, and my favorite saying, we talked about it where we started today, I taught it to my kids, is nice try. Either just get over it or nice try. Those work really well. You made me so mad, but nice try. I'm not taking it on for you. You might want to go find somebody else to dump it on, but it isn't working. Or, you know, just get over it. It really has nothing to do with us. It's going to be really simple. I'm going to say this about 50 million different ways after the break, and show you some techniques. But the way to deal with this suppression first is to start paying attention to your breathing. If you're not in your body and you're not feeling prepared, and if you're only living from your head, which is full of all that propaganda, and you're not in your body getting the information about you that's available for you, if you're not feeling fulfilled or inspired, if you're feeling outspired, you will expire. If you're not inspired in here, fulfilled, if you're not letting your cells remember, you let your body, the member that it is, send to you who you totally are so you can fully participate, instead of just intellectually participate, then you're not going to be ready to handle somebody coming full force at you, because your intellectual processes will say all these wonderful things. Well, you did disappoint them. You shouldn't have said that. You're a bad person. Edith and I just had a long chat about that. At what point do you or don't you tell the truth? You never not tell the truth. If you don't tell the truth, you're not being real, even if it looks like you're being totally mean. I don't have to believe her. She comes up to me and says, Rob, you have the ugliest blonde hair I've ever seen. I say, thanks for sharing. Thank you. And so what? You don't have to take it on. The part about why we want to do the truth and what you're all really desperate for and why everybody's doing all these relationship seminars and psychic friends and all this bullshit is that no... I mean, it's really good stuff. I think... You know, don't come see me, I'm just bullshit too. The thing is, we just want intimacy. And intimacy means into me, you see. And if we're not being honest and truthful, I'm not letting you see. And even if I'm the sweetest, nicest, funnest, most generous, most, oh, he's the time of year, just the world. And if you're not getting to see into me, if I'm not letting you see all my parts, you'll instantly get bored. If you're with somebody you can do intimacy with, and you're just sitting there doing nothing, it could be the time of your life. It has nothing to do with the activity. It has to do with the presence and the participation. And we're absolutely, absolutely must tell the truth. Even if you think you're being a bad person, even if you're telling and boy, in America, we have lots of family secrets, a lot of stuff. Oh, don't tell the neighbors about this, or how we look on the outside is real important. What happens behind closed doors? I have to admit, I was really shy, and I knew better, but I was, when I came to America, and I've been all over the country, let alone all over the world, doing things, the things that go on behind closed doors here versus what goes on in public, I have never seen a place that is so night and day, so full of lies, so hypocritical as America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Where are they? We put them behind closed doors and beat them up and said, don't you dare come out and be that person. So you guys are going to remind people a lot of their terror and their issues, and you're not to take it personal. So breathe before you start really getting ready to tell your absolute truth or radiate. Just let your beingness radiate it, for starters. But be prepared for people to say, who do you think you are, young lady? Who do you think you are, young man? Or you make me angry. Or I wish you would just drop dead, or whatever they have to say. That, don't take it personal. You're just reminding them of their issues. There's two very important things they said to you in America that I enjoy. I've never heard it worded quite as well anywhere else in the world. We all have our different metaphors everywhere, but my favorite one is, I'm rubber and you're glue. It bounces off of me and sticks to you. And the second one you guys use really well is, it takes one to know one. And if you'll just remember what you knew as little kids, that's the truth. Little kids just have this truth, absolute truth. I don't see a blue streak coming out of Keith's mouth, Mom. I don't know what you're talking about. Uh-oh, Mom's in deep shit now. we just say these things, we just pour it out with our wonderful naivety. We're here to grow through all the way back to being children again. So in a moment we'll take a break. I just want to share with you a little cartoon I saw years ago that depicted it perfectly to me. It was in one of those Mad magazines that had no words, just a lot of pictures, sequential pictures. The first picture is this little baby in a stroller, in its bassinet type of thing, little tiny baby, and he's got his little fingers and the little puppy dog that they gave the babies there, and he's going bang. You can, and, but he's not saying it because he can't talk yet, so he's had those little thought things over his head, and he's going bang. And then in the next picture we have this teenager with his BB gun, and he's out shooting at birds flying by, and you can tell he's a spindly, wobbly-legged teenager. It's really teenager, and he's going bang with his BB gun. You can tell it's like it's got the little tassels hanging out, just like the old Daisy BB gun. So it's obviously a BB gun. Then we go to the next day, and this is this middle-class hunter guy who's out hunting, and he's shooting at deer, and we have bang, and he's like, his 30-30s doing bang. And then the next picture is this guy, big white mustache, that famous African hunter's hat, and he's shooting at rhinoceroses, bang, with his big gun. It says bang, really big. The bang got bigger. Got more bucks for his bang on that. And then in the next picture, he's this little old man in this little stroller, right back to where he began in the first place, and there's this little puppy next to him, and he's going bang, but he's not talking, he's just thinking it. Mm-hmm. We go through this amazing bell curve in our life where we start in our childhood, go through what we think is adulthood, and it's quite a mountain to climb, and then finally cruise into this real adulthood, which is childhood. You all are just trying to get back to be the children that you are. And if you'll look at little children, they'll teach you how to tell your truth, and they'll teach you how to be with it. And it's just to say it openly, honestly, without malice. We're not asking you to tell the truth because it defends you. If you're around a truly honest person, you don't get offended and you don't get your feelings hurt in the way you're around a person who says they're being honest, but they're saying, if this is for your own good. In other words, I'm about to project all my issues onto you, and thank you for absorbing them, and it's really for my good. It has nothing to do with you, and thank you for sharing. When you're around a truly honest person who can tell you the exact same issue that this other person told you, but they tell it to you because it's just a truth. They're not projecting on you. They're not wondering how they should respond to you in reality. You will get to hear it. Or if you do it for them and you share it with them, and there's no ego attachment, like I'm telling you this because it makes me feel like a better person, or now I see how cool I am and you're not, or it's a trick. Your job is just to pass the energy along in truth and honesty, and it's real scary because most of us get so defensive about it because we think we're going to get nuked. So we'll talk about a couple of techniques after the break that could help with that. So as you go out, we're going to just take 10-15 minutes, have some nibbles and stretch a little bit, get some air in here. Thank you for...
Okay, so...
And we'll be back.
And we're back. Of course, we're two breaks later since the last time I said that. So we were talking about, not according to this tape, but moments ago we were talking about you're always in the middle. And we talked about it last time also, and I just want to have a couple new people here. I really want to point out what in the middle means. It's probably one of the, in the world of concepts, as you really start telling your truth, this is the ultimate lie that happened to all of you, is that we talked you out of your divinity, your ultimate right to simply be the gods that you are, or goddesses that you are. When I was in London at Glastonbury, where I stayed for a number of months, friends of mine owned the crystal shop under the Glastonbury Tor, which is Avalon. And while we were hanging out in Avalon, there's a lot of goddess stuff, goddess dolls, big time goddess movement, druids everywhere. And a friend of mine from America came over, and he's oh, yellow, of course, we'd be real creative watching all this, and he goes, "Well, God. No, God is. No, goddess. Oh, I got it." So in the world of God and goddess, maybe that might help. It's like, it doesn't matter. God, goddess, got it, got it. God is, simply, is what we're saying. And so in the world of being God, which is like, who do you think you are, young lady? God? You're dead. Like, you're, in this world of who are you? You really are God. Look at how amazing you were at creating survival, for starters. Once you recognize that you are God, and I'm not talking in a religious fashion, the church has put all their stuff on it just to make it like the most impossible thing to say. I want you to, and I know some of you have heard this, so those of you who have heard this, bear with me, or hopefully it's a fun repeat for you, to recognize that once you realize God is just one more middle in a never-ending series of things, it's just no big deal. To say God, every time somebody says, "Who do you think you are?" you say God, and you know what? Who gives a shit? Because I'm probably going to be 15 million other things after that, just like I was 15 million other things before that. And it would look this way. Let's say we got to graduation in high school. So you get to your graduation in high school and you look back and go, wow, like I was, all of a sudden, some amazing thing's supposed to happen on that day. I turned into a person that day. And you look back and you see all that it took to get there. And the minute you're there at this wonderful, as soon as you do that, you go, but what about college? Or what about work? Or what about life? All of a sudden, there's just as much to do as there was to do before. The minute you take the time to do an inventory, to get self-centered or self-reflective, to get centered, or to be still and know that you are God, the minute you get there, there's just as much in front or behind you at any point you are in your life. So let's say you became God today. We just wave this little wand over you, sweetie, and boom, she just turned into God. And so do you think that's the end of her life now? Is she all done? God's just one more middle. I'm sure God has a boss, and I'm sure God's boss has a boss, and I'm sure we have a boss, and I'm sure I'm the boss of something, or however you want to work it in the world of authority. But in the world of knowingness or growth or authority, God is just one more middle, and it's not a big deal. And if you could play with that concept, and I'm not being frivolous, I'm not trying to be smart. I usually like being a smart ass very much. But in this one, I'm giving you a very serious concept to consider. It's something I've known my whole life, and it's what set me free here. I've spent 15 years just trying to figure out what is the common denominator about what is it I know. Because everybody says, what is it you know, Rob, that gives you the life that you've had? This, I believe this is it. I might be lying to myself. There might be some other things, but at the moment, I know that I'm God, and I don't have to be all perfect and all creative and transparent and float around. I'm God on vacation, and I'm here screwing up, having an earth experience, having a wonderful time, up and down and right and left. But if I know there's a pony here somewhere, so I'm not having a hard time. I don't mind shoveling it, and I don't mind walking in it, and I really understand that, yeah, there's some really amazing gift floating around here, and this is just part of the package. This is the bipolar parts of it, the positive and the negative, and it's okay. And I always knew I was God, and that God to me means God over-defining. If you know, they say God, just go, God's everything, God's everywhere. Well, you only mean God doesn't have a definition? Okay, that's easy. G-O-D. I got over defining. Okay, I'll take it. That's my job. So it says Rob, G-O-D. That's whenever I have to sign in for something, and when I'm with all my fellow PhDs and BSs, I just love BS. I just think it's so great they give you a BS. You must be a future teacher. I got my BS today. Blah. So I always would write G-O-D. And I did it for years, and I didn't realize what I was doing until 5-6 years ago. That really was what I've been looking for to tell you guys. And I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think I'm a big deal. I don't believe tomorrow I'll be a bigger deal, or yesterday I was a lesser deal. I'm just a deal. You can either make a big deal out of it or a little deal, depending on who you are and what you need and want. But it's irrelevant as to whether it's big or not. That define good.
You know, define big deal. Define tall. It's going to be up to you guys. So what you think God is going to be totally up to you. But what I really would like for you to play with is the possibility that what you were told God is a total lie, because it's all under a definition. God is all perfect and all knowing and all benevolent and all this and all that. And it seems like a very boring job. And if that's what God is, I don't want it. I really would much rather be here having experiences. And you guys might want to look, do you really want to be God? Because you are. But do you want to be God by the definition that is thrown out at you? That might be why you end up torturing yourselves, because you have enough information now that it might even scare you that you might be getting pretty close to it. I call it the last bite of dessert. You might be finally, you've gobbled down the first three-fourths of that carrot cake, but all of a sudden you realize there's only this little bite left. And plus it's the centerpiece. It's your favorite bite. You set it aside. The mushy, juicy goodness, the most amazing. So you just take a little nibble and a little bite. All of a sudden you drag it out and draw it out, and it tortures you. Well, here, just gobble it down. Eat it, you know. There's more carrot cake. One of the things about the world is there's always somebody making carrot cake. It's not the last piece in the world. That's the biggest lie you've ever done to yourselves. You know, don't treat that last piece like it's the last piece. If you want more, hey, waitress or waiter, you know, garçon, more carrot cake for the millions, the masses, please. Do not limit yourselves, right? You're God. You can order more carrot cake. It will always be created for you. Always be present. So watch out if you start limiting things and fractioning them like it's your last thing, or this is all I deserve, that's what you're doing to your life. When I did that seminar when I was 10 years old, the question I asked everybody in the room about money was, how many of you know wealthy people or are wealthy people? Well, I said, good. I see the reason you're here is you're not wealthy people, so I didn't expect any of you to raise your hands. But you know what? I consider you all wealthy people, but you don't, and that's why you're here. You don't recognize your abundance. You don't recognize that if I gave $100 to a starving person in Africa, I would make them a multi-trillionaire. That if you can feed them for 2 cents a day, probably feed their whole tribe and be the hero of, like, manna from heaven fell down in the form of a grant or whatever a $100 bill is. I gave him a grant. Ooh, that's good. I love the play on words with that. Pardon me. My brain was just going off on a little tangent for a minute there. So I grant these people $100. And whoever that person is that gets that grant instantly is richer than God, according to them. For us, it's like lunch. It's actually like going to the movies and paying for parking and getting one thing of popcorn is $100. So I said to all of you guys, what is it that you think, why is it you didn't think you were millionaires? Why is it you don't think you're abundant? What is it about you that doesn't appreciate the life you're having today in an amazing place called America, really? Even though I bitch and groan about it and I make fun of it, look where I chose to live. I can live anywhere in the world, so obviously I'm not having too much of an issue with it. Or I'd be in Poland, or I'd be in Russia, or I'd be in Mexico. I like it here. The thing is if you don't like where you are in the moment, it isn't going to be better somewhere else. Oh, well, this town, there's nothing to do in this town. It's such a boring town. I promise you, move to Vegas. It'll be the most boring town you've ever been in. If you're a boring person and you're not able to entertain yourself, you're going to be bored no matter where you go. It's a trick. If you're not an abundant person, it's not about we're not giving it to you. You can't have, you're not being abundant with yourself. I also would like for you guys to consider this other question I asked them. How many of you think rich people are assholes? How many of you think they look down their nose at you and that they're elitist and that they waste raw materials and that they're snobs and that they treat people poorly and they put people out of business and they're mean and cruel and destructive and they have people murdered and they think the world is at their disposal and that upsets you? Or at least one of those few things I mentioned. There's probably many more, but that's just a few. So if you think they're any one of those things, why would you wish to be that if you don't like it? So if you wish to be rich and that means you wish to be an asshole, it doesn't work. You're instantly going to sabotage your own abundance in the financial world unless you get over your judgment, because you're telling your body, I want to be an asshole. I want to be a hypocrite. I want to be a mean person. It's going, no way. You don't get to have that. So if you think money means that, then heaven help you, never have money. Or when you have it, guess what you'll turn into? The person you swore you wouldn't turn into. I've seen that a million times. If I had a dollar for every time I saw it, I'd be a millionaire. I've seen it a million times. So amazing watching people who have all this stuff, and then as soon as they get money, they turn into these elitist snobs. They do this whole nouveau riche thing, and I just roll on the ground, and they totally nuke themselves, have a miserable life. They're worse off than they were when they had no money, because now they don't even have pretend friendships. nobody will tolerate them. So watch. Why would you want to become that? So if you think that that's what's happening, your reality is stopping you from having, it's doing you a favor. Yeah. And that works the same in love. If you think love is torture, if you had enough experience in love that you now believe, or you read too many of those fairy tales, which is all about torture, and if you've read too many Harlequin novels or whatever, everything's about torture, and you think you're not having a fairy tale life, then I suggest you look at it, or whatever you believe is. And if you believe that love is real torture, that's what you're going to have. And therefore, if you don't want to have that torture, as much as you say, I want to be in relationship, it'll get pushed away from you. Because there's a part of your body that goes, it's destructive, it's killing me. Can't have it. We're answering a lot of the questions you had, so that saves me some time tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tomorrow, yeah. And so it's really about recognizing where you lie to yourself. And so one of the reasons, again, about intimacy or telling your truth isn't to be intimate with me. I'm totally, once you get intimate, once you're available and you say, look, this is who I am, these are my strengths, these are my weaknesses, yes, I pick my nose, yes, I fart, yes, I've tripped on sidewalk cracks, and yes, I've made mistakes, and yes, my tape recorders don't work, and everything isn't perfect, who gives a shit? It's okay. It's perfect in that it's not perfect. It's imperfect in that who cares? It just is. It's just part of the journey. It makes it exciting, makes it interesting, makes it energetic. So if you get over the judgment of how it should be and you just go with the flow of it, then you get to be the gods that you are, get to be in the part. And it's not about doing it perfect. You let go of these judgments about it's right. The minute you get to where you just like and love yourself, everybody likes and loves you, even if you're a jerk. Even if you think you're being a jerk, because they'll just, oh, isn't he the best jerk you've ever seen? it's the trick of the century, in that now I don't need to do intimacy with any of you. I'm totally self-contained. I'm so happy. It actually is an effort sometimes for me to come out and be with you. I'm so happy with myself. I just can't rip myself away from myself sometimes. It's like I feel like I'm some sort of pervert. I'm just, what am I doing to myself? I'm perpetrating myself. I'm so happy. And you'll find that, and then all of a sudden, I have people like Edith, want to marry me? Edith sends me, the first time I do a reading for Edith, the card comes, well, when are you going to marry me? So as soon as you love yourself, this energy comes that says, look, I'm available for you. Everybody will love you and like you. Everybody's available for you. And so what you get to see is you just got to love you. Just got to love you. That's the key. And that's just that easy. That's why you got to breathe, get in your body, get fully present, tell your truth, be intimate with yourself for others. Not so that we can be intimate with you, so that you can call it, magnetize to you your energy the way you want it. Call in what you want. And these are the simple little keys. Recognize that you are God. And if you have some shame with that, then definitely say the word God. If God doesn't punch your buttons enough, then find a word that does. And if there is no word, then you got it figured out. I am the is that is. I am all that is. I am the multidimensional master of the multi-universe dimensional being. If you're going, woo, who do I think I am to say that, or it's too woo-woo for you, then that's what you need to say. That's what you need to look at and say and claim. The minute you claim it, then you get to say, and who gives a shit? It's just another middle. It's not a big deal. That's the part. We made God such a big deal that it stopped you from even claiming that middle. We've stopped you guys. And your job is not to go around carrying your sign saying, I'm God. Just live it. I don't walk around telling everybody, I think I'm God, or I know I'm God, or I am God. It's really nice to meet you, Jonathan. You've been a good boy for Christmas. Just live your life. It sets you free. The truth of it sets you free. And then you get to dance between the worlds here. You get to have your earth experience, your multidimensional experience, your angel experience, your abundance, your freedom, your joy, your love, and your torture, and your downsides. But the fun part is torture doesn't torture. You just get excited. You go, oh, one of my issues is up. I school. I didn't know I had this one. And then you get to have the discovery of how to process it, how to release it, what to do with a lie that's in your body. It actually can be fun. As much torture as it seems to date, it's not so. Once you really start loving and liking yourself, you actually look forward to it. So what you've heard me say last week when we talked about relationship, when you get into a relationship, you're just there to expose your issues, your lies to yourself. And if you'll go into them happy, saying, oh good, I can hardly wait till the shit hits the fan, and do it consciously so you know you're co-creating in it versus being in reaction, oh God, they don't love me, they don't like me, they're abandoning me, I was so perfect and here I am again being abandoned. It's a setup.
go in it and say, you know what, I'm going to be so sweet and nice, they've got to abandon me. Here it comes. And so, and then what is it that, why is it that I believe that? Why is it triggered that? Instead of being naive, recognize your patterns. You've all had them enough times to see what it is, own it, push it, and then look for the truth in it instead of being angry. So you're not angry, you're in pain. Anger is a distraction, doesn't let you're not being honest. So if you're being angry, you're not being honest, you're going to, oh, you made me mad and you did this and you did that, and do you think you grew one fraction of an inch through that? No. How many people do you think have grown that you've seen being mad at you? You're so mad and you're dead. That's zero. Flat line. They don't either go forwards or backwards. They're just stuck in that bullshit. And so the homework is to be brave enough to hold the space, let it come at you, just see what your issues are, dismiss the person, go, okay, there's my issues. I can look at it and see. You don't have to explain your reality to them, and they certainly aren't obligated to explain theirs to yours, because it's just based on what they need to see. Get back into your self-centered middle and be the gods that you are. Recognize it's not a big deal. When I say God, I don't mean it religiously, and I don't mean big deal. Just at least get back and own that you're co-creating here with these people, that it does take one to know one. We are rubber and glue. It is bouncing off of each one of us and back on someone else. That's the key. So to end suppression or to eliminate depression, all we have to do is start breathing and lift the weight of the lie off of us. And each one of us has different lies. You know, if you're charismatic, we'll shoot you. If you're too quiet, we'll shoot you. If you're too fat, we won't love you. If you're too skinny, we won't love you. If your hair's too red, we won't love you. If you don't have hair, we won't love you. Wow, a lot of conditions that never match up across the board. It's irrelevant. The minute you love yourself just the way you are, everybody loves you. They can't help themselves. People are very attracted to truth, very attracted to honest, that's what real health is. It's just truth and honesty. Living in your truth, you never go to disease. Living in your truth, it's radiant. There isn't an entropy happening there. You're not a vampire anymore. How many of you had the privilege of hanging out with what I call psychic vampires, even though they were sweet and nice and wonderful? You think they just take and take and take, or even when you think you're taking, all of a sudden you're exhausted or drained, and what happened here? I thought I was getting the benefit of this. So you'll find that nobody can steal your energy anymore. You now have boundaries, and you can participate with those same people very much in the same way, but it isn't, they don't steal your energy. You're just radiating because you're your truthful self, and it's unlimited energy when you're in truth. When you're not in truth, it's exhausting because you're not in your center, and there's disease, and it wears you out. It's like if you guys ever spun a top when you were little, the gyroscopes. And the minute you try to tip it, there's so much resistance to tipping it, but when you tip it, the weight of tipping it is so intense, the burden of it. When it's standing upright, it just flows so smoothly, so easily. You can hold it in your hand and just feel the precision of it. Anytime you let us take you off center, that's the amount of intensity from your spinning of your chakras, the spinning of your truth, the vibration of who you are here. The minute you go off center, you're that imagine, that's just the little top. It's not even half the mass you are as an entity, and not spinning near as fast as you do. You got this little gyroscope spinning, and you try to move it, it literally takes every muscle you got to hold on to it. Imagine what you're doing to your bodies when you're not in your center. And we just take it for granted. We wonder why we're tired. People go, why is it you don't sleep, Rob? Right? And I do get tired, and when I do get tired, I realize, wow, I put too much energy here, too much energy there, and it's not like, oh, it's their fault. Like, oh, I got to monitor that, I have to pay attention to that, or I choose to do that. The fun part is you can actually choose to go off center too. I choose to be Daniel in the lion's den. I'm going to throw myself in there and see what kind of experience it is. But when you choose to do it, even if it's exhausting or tiring and you have to get bandaged up, there's this great joy that you chose to do that versus they made you do that. Any of you had that experience where you chose to do something even though it was scary, and even though it might not have worked, or stack your blocks and they fall, and you go, so what? I knew they might fall. I knew I was building a risky sort of tower. I wanted to see if I could make it fall. It's like not like the end of the world. Yet you choose that versus be in reaction to it. Then you'll have unlimited energy. Everybody will want to play with you. The thing is, will you want to play with them? Because once you're self-centered, so it's pretty hard to get me out of my house. Let's go have fun. What can be more fun than hanging out with myself? Let's go dance. I feel like I'm dancing. Let's go have food. I'm not hungry. Let's have sleep. I'm not tired. You'll find that you'll start moving into flow, and what you'll create in your life are people who are able and willing to participate, and there's a whole other world available for you. Have you not noticed in your life everything's in layers? There's still people in the sandbox, little kids who think that's the whole world. There's still people riding tricycles, think that's the whole world. I love my tricycle, or riding bicycles. Remember that part in your life where you never thought you'd ever get anywhere unless you had to walk there or ride a bike? Can you even remember that? Can you remember that? And then now it's hard to even imagine it when you have a car. Can't imagine that time where that was quite an endeavor. You'll find that all these layers of reality, there's what? It's thousands, billions, millions. You pick and choose where you play at. And the next layer above what you guys have all been promised is the layer that surpasses God. Once you get past this bullshit that it's not okay to be God, or that God's this impossible thing or this mystical thing, or when you become God, you're supposed to be this thing that transcends the planet, where do you think you're going? What's going to actually be better? What do you imagine is better than this when you're on all eight cylinders? What is not heaven right here when it's all up to speed? And I just love when somebody says, well, I'm working on ascension, and I'm going to do it. Where the fuck do you think you're going? So you're going to be a particle of light. Big deal. Sorry to hear that. Have a nice trip. Be a photon. It's fine with me. Illuminate my life, then. We'll put you to work. But certainly, there's nowhere to go but here, and you need to own this spot. Part of the suppression is that it feels hopeless. It feels like it's suicidal. It feels like giving up. And once you lift the weight off of you and can breathe easier, you'll be fine. In fact, didn't you ever notice, like, when you take a breath, and just kind of, for that moment, while that breath does what it does, just for that moment, you feel great. Everything's perfect. And it lasts for about, like, 1 or 2 seconds for most people. So if only you just breathe more normally. Could have, like, bunches of it. Does all that make sense? Is that God thing not too far out? It's like, ooh, too woo-woo? So why do you get it? It's no big deal. Every time you pass the First Church of God, First Church of God, and get your spray paint can out, and it's no big deal. You could put out, it's no big deal all over here. Everything's the First, Second, Third, Fourth, Fifth Church of God. And well, it's interesting, the very limiting churches, they have a lot of definitions on what you should wear and what you should believe. That's why they never think they're God, because they won't give up definition. And it's, you've been told if you give up definition, we won't love you, or you'll scare us, or you will disintegrate you. And all I can promise you is that the truth will set you free, and the real truth is that you get to do what you want, when you want, how you want, and there is no punishment, there is no hell, there is no bad, and there are very wealthy people out there who are actually kind and generous and wonderful people. There are very poor people out there who are snobs and mean and condescending, who trash other people and manipulate. It's not just the rich, it's everybody, it's just people, it's individuals, it's experiences. Don't limit yourself from having an experience because you categorize or generalize that being in love is torture, or all authority figures, all moms and dads are mean. All authority figures, they never listen. They don't care. All they think of is themselves. They're so unconscious. They don't understand us. It's a perennial lie. It's got to stop somewhere. And the way it stops is you don't do battle with it. You love it. You see that it's your best friend showing you that's what you believe. And so you say, thank you for showing me all these times I believed it. When I got angry with you, I didn't make any progress because I simply was in pain. And I realize now that you're a pain and I'm going to deal with it because I'm not going to participate with you on that level. I will have my feelings of betrayal. And I still get that movie. I just love that. But if you guys haven't seen The Birdcage, you have to see it just for that scene. When he's pretending to be the man, how do you feel? Betrayed, abandoned, disappointed. So great. So feel, but the part about that I really enjoyed was, yeah, those were honest feelings. And they were trying to show what a guy should feel like, and they couldn't do it. The two of them couldn't do what a guy feels like because they couldn't get that numb. They couldn't just pretend it was all okay, and how about them Dodgers? It was, did I do it okay? It was so great. It was just so much a feeling. So what you guys get to do is just get in touch with your feelings and don't limit it, and don't worry how it makes you look, and don't worry how it looks. In fact, what I would suggest is really amping up the feelings you'd like to have so that you can get the people that you felt you needed to impress or whatever out of your life. Might as well have them run for the hills screaming, oh my God, the devil. So whatever it is, nuke them. Be your real self, filter them out. Promise you this also, another big promise. If as you guys change, as cool as, this is a pretty cool group of people. As you guys change, you're going to be dropping a lot of people in your life. Might even be some of the people that are around you. But the cool part is these people get healthy, they won't take it personal. They'll recognize your own individual path. The people that take it personal are the people that needed you to be something so they could vampire off of you to validate their reality. That's all. Otherwise, why do you think they're angry with you? You're not medicating them anymore. You're exposing their pain. Because they really aren't angry. They're in pain. And their aspirin just got up on two legs and walked into another room, and they have a headache. And they're pissed at the aspirin for leaving. Or they're pissed that you came in their face and you're headache causing because you're a type of medicine they didn't think they wanted. You know, be careful what you ask for. You might just get it. That makes sense? Got that? So a rephrasing of all of this. Breathe. Be brave enough to tell your truth, even if 2 seconds later while they're hanging you for that truth, you realized it wasn't your truth. You've got to be that brave to be what you believe your truth is in the moment, even if it gets you killed. It's pretty scary to be that dedicated, because I promise you this, the minute you have that level of truth, they can't touch you. Can't touch this. Oh, I feel like singing that song and dancing. Can't touch it. So here's the trick. You think that if you bravely step into saying that gives us total permission to put you on the guillotine. And the lie is the minute you fully believe they can't touch you and you put your full energy forward, they can't. The minute we promised you all you'd be all alone and abandoned, we won't love you if you start acting for who you really are. You don't fit in this family, or we can't acknowledge you, or you're a disappointment, or you make us worried, or they'll make you feel guilty, whatever all the stuff is, that's just their stuff. You were made to be their pharmaceutical cabinet. You guys get that, right? Look at all the ways you've medicated these people by keeping their realities this way, by saying, oh, I'm a bad person, or I think you're right, or I'll work harder, I'll get better grades, or I'll do whatever. It's such a lie. They stay just as sick forever. Remember, when you cater to their lie, guess what? They never change. These people we're talking about, that you know who I'm talking about, did they change recently? Have they changed in the last 25 or 30 years? Barely. And if they did change, you will find that you had, in order to recognize that change, you had to make significant changes, because it does take one to know one. You are a vibrational source for them. Be brave. And you'll find that the truth will... for my mother, for Adriana, that the only moments of sanity she has in her life is when she's interacting with me, because I don't remind her of her pain in a way that she gets angry with me, because I'm being so honest with her, being so truthful with her, that she has to go and get angry with other people to deal with it. She actually is intimate with me because I'm not afraid to sit there and say, this is who I am, this is the best I get, and this is my truth, and I don't want to know about the weather, and I don't really care what color you're going to paint the house next week. I'm not inspired by that. Let's talk about feelings. Let's talk about intimacy. Let's talk about what it is that stops you from being a healthy person. Let's talk about that before we even move on to other stuff. I keep wanting to do foundations with her, and she gets it, but it nukes her. She can only handle 5 minutes of it. Then she yells at my dad, yells at my brother, yells at my sister, yells at my other brother, and then comes back and says, where were we? So then we do it again. She nukes with the dog, whoever. Don't be around when I'm chatting with my mom. If you ever come as a friend to visit with me when I'm with Adriana, I don't suggest you be in the room, because she isn't going to nuke me. She'll nuke you. She looks for the next available wimp to nuke, because once you're unnukable, once you know that yes, you make mistakes, so what if you fart? So what if you got spinach in your teeth? So what if you button them crooked? So what if you're not intelligent? So what? The minute you get that you're okay just the way you are, how can we shame you? If you really know all that and you love and accept it, you're stupid. Yeah. And you got spinach in your teeth. Yeah. And you're an idiot. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I already knew all those things. Can't we talk about something maybe I don't know? Can't we learn something here? You will not be in reaction in the least bit. So your job is, if you go into reaction on any of those things or any of the previous mentioned ones, it's because you're doing it to you. What it is you want to say to your mom and dad or that authority figure, whoever it is what you need to say to yourself. If you need to say to them, lighten up, who do you think you need to say lighten up to? Get off my back? Who's really on your back? That's the key. And I promise you, I have grown up with you guys think you had it bad. I've had every ounce of torture you can have and more, short of a drawing and quartering. And it's survivable. Not only is it survivable, you can actually re-engage with that person no matter how sick they are, and actually have a pretty amazing engagement with them, because it depends on your level of health, not theirs. If they're so unhealthy they can't engage, they won't even see you. You'll stand right in front of them and you're invisible.
You will not be visible to them. Well, you guys have had that, haven't you? Like, as you go through different layers of awareness, all of a sudden, I didn't realize there were so many people that drove white Toyotas in town. Well, I just bought one last week, so now I see them everywhere, right? That reality we talked about a couple seminars back, the minute you subscribe to a vibration, it's everywhere. But until you subscribe to that vibration, you don't see it. If you guys don't own a rusty old Volkswagen van, the chances are you don't see near as many of them as there really are in this town. But the minute you buy one, or if your friend has one, or you play, or you know somebody who has one, all of a sudden they're everywhere. So it could even be in a chunk of metal. So your job is to acknowledge yourself as who you really are, love yourself, be brave enough to be truthful. Maybe make agreements with some of the people you know in the room. Say, I know that when I'm truthful with you, I might nuke you, but would you be willing that when you get conscious again to say, gee, you know, we still got to work on this, or I'm willing to work on this. You don't have to do it perfect. In fact, there's no way you can do it perfect the first day. You're all going to be products of what you were trained. So I'm just doing my best to relentlessly give you some other options so that might sink in, so that it can be part of your new training. And the new training is you've been perfect all along. There's nothing wrong with any of you. You're not broken. All you have to do is somebody says you're stupid, you go, thanks. Somebody says you're too short, thanks. You're too tall, thanks. You're too fat, really? Okay. You're too skinny, thank you for sharing. Does it really matter? I drive by graveyards. I see more here than I do in other places. They're hidden in most places. You guys have a few exposed. I drive by the little graveyards. You drove me around, I saw a couple, and I sat there and I wondered, how many of those people were fat? How many of those people were tall? How many of them were short? And how many of them really give a shit right now? Does it really matter? Who cares? How many of them were stupid? How many were dumb? How many contributed? How many of you can hardly wait to go see Buffalo Bill's grave, or go see Edison's grave, or go to Einstein's grave to see the most ingenious person? Who cares? They're dead. You didn't make it. You lived in disease. You didn't figure it out. Tough binolis. Even if they're outraged, I promise you, you can be the most coolest and outrageous and contributory person on the planet. When you're dead, a couple generations later, they'll go, huh? Or they're not going to go line up to see you. They don't care, because we're not here to do it for them. Everybody's too busy doing it for themselves. That's the plan, to do it for you. So I'm taking you to that bigger picture, because one of my favorite metaphors is if you're dead, what did you do that was so important in your life? Or what is it that you're going for? Let's say you get what you wanted to do and you died in the process. Was it really all that important? Was it worth it? Your jobs are to be able to do nothing and do it really well. And nothing is by your definition. For me, nothing is laying around and just enjoying. Some people's nothing could be dance. Dance is nothing. Edith does dance all the time. Dance is everywhere. It's nothing. Like, it's not an effort for you, is it? Yeah. For me, it would exhaust me. It's an effort for me. I don't have any yellow. Dancing's a workout for me. So I have to really want to be it. Where if she was to sit around and do nothing like I do, it would be torture for her. My version of nothing is different than her version of nothing. Jason's version of nothing, because he's this really creative guy who wants to create and inspire and make things happen, his version of nothing is just to simply be there and radiate and inspire people. It's a cool job. My job's a cool job. We all have cool jobs. The thing is to recognize what it is, what your real truth is, and do it well. Even if they say we don't love you, we're starving, you go, fine. Obviously, you're just saying you don't love yourselves, and I remind you of your issue, and send in the clowns. Send in the people who really appreciate who I am. You'll instantly find them, because now you're driving your white Toyota. It takes outrageous bravery to say, I'm willing to live my life in truth, knowing full well we've filled you with so much propaganda that the minute you make that claim, we'll shoot you, disintegrate you, abandon you, we'll burn you at the stake, or dunk you, whatever we've done to you in other lifetimes, we'll do again. And you're at a point in time now where it's the decade of truth, and you're totally supported in your truth. You can get away with it now, where you might not have before. Look at Elvis. I was just talking to someone. No, it wasn't you guys. I was talking to the Yellow Violet I saw today. Yellow Violet, Elvis, a fat slob drug addict who's a sexual deviant, who married a perpetrator who married a 14-year-old because he never got over his sexual abuse issues with his mom and his abandonment of his father. I mean, we could lay out this whole thing. And died on a toilet from an overdose of drugs. And we made a stamp about him. I just love that. Now, 5 years earlier, what's the guy with all the blonde hair in his face? Jerry Lee Lewis. He tried the same thing. I mean, he tried to marry the young girl. He tried to go to Europe. And they booed him, shunned it, because it wasn't the right timing. It wasn't the proper energy. It wasn't his job to do that. So why is it Elvis got away with it almost in the same spectrum of time? It replaced Jerry Lee Lewis when Jerry Lee was much more overt with it, much more gregarious. And Elvis just a dumb little kid, so that was his part. He got to do it his way. Even when everything looked like it should have gone against him, he made bad movies. He sang some great songs, but he didn't really sing many. I mean, it's like we call him the king. What? He's merely the prince or something. Yeah, like king, doesn't the king at least have 30 songs? I mean, he really didn't do much. We threw him in the war and threw his career out of whack, and they made those horrible movies, which I actually liked very much. So I have to say, I liked them because they were brainless. And my job is to do nothing and do it well, and that's what Elvis was doing. So he was my hero. Go on, Elvis, do nothing and get paid a fortune for singing stupid songs in Hawaii, which is the place I like least on planet Earth. So look at, he's my hero. He got to do everything totally with what everybody said should nuke you, and he was a success. You guys get to see, look who's out, and Jerry Lee Lewis, who really was a very, much more intense musician, really dedicated to his music, very much on it, really was just really pushing. Elvis was just, it happened. It was like, there was no choice. He like said, here, you're the king. I am. Golly. Almost like Gomer Pyle. I watch this thing and go, Shazam. Or Jerry Lee Lewis was desperate for it. I just love watching how the earth works. If your destiny will come to you the minute you just be your truthful self, you do not have to make it happen. Listen to these people when they get their Oscars. I never knew I'd be an actor. I'd never do this or all these successful. I don't know. All I did is turn right when everybody turned left, and I thought I was turning left. It was an accident, and I ended up over here. And by the way, you don't have to turn left with everybody. Two rights, what is it? Two wrongs don't make a right. Two rights don't make a wrong. But three rights make a left. So if you wanted to turn left, if you keep going right by accident, you'll eventually have gone left. So everybody says you're not turning left. Eventually, I will have turned left. It's like the old joke I heard. It's a sick joke. You guys won't even think it's funny, but I always have to tell it. I was an only child. Eventually. My mom was working on that one. She was trying to make me an only child after I left home, but they all survived. So that's the bottom line for you guys, is breathe, get in your body, tell your truth. You're going to be terrified that you're going to disintegrate, and that's the lie of the century. You will disintegrate if you don't tell your truth, because it's not integrating for you. You're not integrating yourselves, and all you create around us is people who are really, like you'll create people who match your reality. We seem to be like perfect for you, but you might find that we limit you. As soon as you start telling your truth, you might need to go off into this whole other adventure. It doesn't make us bad people. In fact, the healthier your friends are as you go on to other things, they just say, hey, go, fly and be free. Jonathan Livingston Seagull, part 10. We're not here to stop you. We won't take it personal. We're busy flying over this way. It doesn't mean that you're going to, like, look around and go, I would never leave these friends. They really understand. They speak, yes, you're going to leave us. You're going to leave them because you're going to eventually go off into your truth. It's going to be a whole different thing. Edith's going to be out on boats forever the rest of her life. I'm not going to find me on the ocean. And she's totally happy as a clam. I was happy as a clam. That's where that came from. Happy as a mermaid out on boats because she got this real dose of how cool it is to be out on the ocean, cruising around on a yacht, and time just evaporates. And the fun part about being a yellow violet blonde is that there's lots of people out there with boats who say, "Will you be my first mate? You could travel all. You would never have to see dry land ever again. Ever." And it's.